But anyway, we thank God, though we did not seek the Lord, He sought us and He found us. And the good shepherd, as the songwriter said, sought till he found the lost sheep, and I was the sheep that was lost. So I think of that. Jesus hath perfected me forever. Before I was ever born into the world, as the writer said, all of my members was determined in his mind and wrote down in his book. And as the writer said, and he called me to be a prophet, as it was with the prophet of old, before I was ever formed in the mother's womb. And to Judas, before he was ever born, it was said, let another his bishopric take, and the Bible said he went to his place. And Esau and Jacob, I remind you so frequently that it was said before the children were ever born that it might stand according to election of God that calleth and not of strength as to him that runneth. And that the Bible said the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. And unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman riseth but in vain. But it does say righteousness exalteth the nation and it protects the nation. And when you follow God, everything's going to be all right, because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. For them that he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we are God's workmanship in Christ as to what he wanted us to be. He made Christ to be that. And then what we are as to that thing that he hated. He made Jesus as the end of the ministry that he had to be sin. And he took our place to become sin, even the sinful image of the first man Adam, to be delivered for our offenses, that he might be, as we suppose, smitten of the Lord. We esteem him smitten of God. And the wrath of God poured out upon that beast-like body, the image or the body of that death that holds that inter-Christ man in captivity, or that is the inter-man which Christ is interwoven with as to redemption, as to that Christ image that was lost at the fall when Adam was illuminated with it, the image in which he and Eve was made. It has been restored through Calvary, not to the outer man, but to the inner man, and the blood put on the seat of atonement, and the grace is there as to that grace coming down upon the outer man, even as the illumination upon Adam and Eve in the garden, grace until this image can be changed to its originality. So making a man out of a little bit of dust and picking him up and putting him in a place as to elevate him into heaven, to make him in the image of God. And we spoke of this the other day, as to like one would snap a picture when darkness was upon the face of the earth and the great light appeared, and when it appeared it snapped the picture, and then the light receded and the darkness returned, and Satan, the ruler of the darkness as a reflector, became the god of this world as to intellectual darkness, even the darkness of that ignorance that's within you, whereas the Bible said, and this great, wonderful, marvelous light that shined in the darkness, that they that are creatures of the darkness, they comprehended it not, but you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, and that the Lamb is the light of that city, and the city is that wonderful revelational light of understanding. So you are not without understanding. The wicked shall not understand, but ye shall understand, and ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the doors to the coming of the Lord, which is the revelation. It reveals that. And the ones that's in this world will not know, for the Bible said they cannot see, because Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, they are taken into captivity at his very will and as his desire. But the expulsion is close by, and with the light going out as to the church, going out of the light going out, they'll find themselves in complete darkness as the Jews come in the twilight zone as to the change from through the tribulation from this marvelous light of the gospel going through that twilight into darkness and to bring it back to that wonderful restoration of the garden of the millennium to be made the head of the nations. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Though the children had done no good or evil, but he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Never yet been born. So that means that there are many that will hear my voice, whether it's by radio or television, printed page or whatever, to read. They'll receive this, and many of them God hath hated before they were ever born into the world. And the Bible said they're beast. And the Bible says some of them are brute beast. Some of them are beast. When Adam fell to that level of the beast, the illumination as to the image in which man was made, even Christ, that illumination, withdrew, and he was no longer the Son of God as the Bible gave it, but he was the fallen one of the dust of which he was made among the beast, and that the beasts were made out of the dust. And when Satan is Lucifer from the tree of knowledge, even as the old thing of diplomacy of today carrying on and ruling the world, there Satan entered in, and that mind took that body from God, that body that was made for God, the great spirit, as to the abundance of life through that spirit of living. And he took it, and it's been death ever since. He's tried medically to preserve it. He has tried every way to preserve his government. He has tried to keep the generations, but all he can do is just get into a new generation, because he's an angel. He can't die. Angels have to be destroyed. Angels can't die. People that are born again are equal with angels. You cannot die once you become an angelic being. But anyway, he has to get generation after generation to keep his project going. He can't understand why they die, and he can't stop them from dying. Whereas he himself will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then cast into the lake of fire after the 1,000 years. Didn't mean to get so extensive in the thought there, but I'm just simply saying that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and that outward being, that outward man, that outward woman is Esau. It's made for this world. It's born of Adam, and in Adam all die, because the image is hated because of the corrupt mind. And God looked down from heaven in the days of Noah and saw that all flesh had corrupted its way before God. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. And that every man had turned to his own way, and every man had looked to his own quarter for his own gain. And there was none good, no, not one. And so he made himself a body and come down and wrought salvation all by himself, that it might be just exactly according to his plan and according to his will. So we know that the outward man is Esau, and he's dead, and he's despised. In the morning I'll despise your image, because it is the beast image, and I will despise that image. And so the morning came as to the dawning of the day star, when the veil was rent in twain, and the great light came. And they said, great light has sprang up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And the Bible said, and them that sat in darkness, to them this great light is come. And now the true light shineth even from Calvary as through the rent veil. So you are the children of light. And my, what a revelation that we could get into this morning, because your hearts usually on Sunday morning are open and hungering and thirsting for revelation. And what a revelation we could get into. We don't really understand as children, but we need to desire the sincere milk of the word that might grow thereby. So then Esau have I hated, and that body is Esau, and it's condemned to death, and the sentence of death is in it. And Paul said, O wretched man that I am, or this body is, who shall deliver me from this bodily death? Beast, all of them beast, falling to the beast level with the beast mind through Adam, and Adam all die. The transgressions of one man unto death, and the obedience of one man, even Jesus Christ, unto life for all, even as it was unto death for all. And knowing that the sentence of death is in this body, that our angelic interman, having been translated into the kingdom and sealed to where he cannot sin, then that means that there is a separation between the body and the spirit, and the body is dead and buried and gone, in that it cannot transgress the law being folded up and laid away. And you are buried and gone by the body of that was delivered for your offenses. And today, having been buried with him in baptism unto death, now you are resurrected unto life with him, this glorious, wonderful light of God. Being the stones that make up that wonderful city, as Paul the wise master builder, and the stones unto the great capstone, which is called Paul, or that is the all-seeing light of Revelation, or the overseer to the Gentile church. And starting at Calvary, those wonderful steps that Jacob saw going into glory, as to what we could say about that of Jesus and Bethel. They call this little place Bethel out here. lot of things as to a present day truth or applications as to what is right here happening at Bethlehem and the different places around the world. And you know, the average individual doesn't see that at all. They live at Bethlehem. We have people that live here and they never, as a rule, see anything at Bethlehem other than their little house. And their grounds and their interest is so motivated by desire of the flesh. And that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And they're looking back into Egypt. And out there all the time being blinded by the things of their human desires, the Bible says, which not make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust and desire thereof. So they're looking back and it's money and it's prestige and it's business. And they can't share anything financially, physically, spiritually. And they're evasive and they'll do anything to get God and to get the heavenly things, just like they are in the world, never giving any sacrifice as to prayer or to fasting or as to project the gospel or to send forth anything to pull a soul out of the fire. When the Bible said we're commanded that we should hate the garment, even the fleshly thing that God hates, we should hate that image and that the light has dawned and not be pampering that thing. And we should hate that image that's spotted by iniquity, pulling the people out of the fire. And let our angelic man as to the rent veil go back to God who gave it and let it dwell in heaven. Manifest in these mortal genes this wonderful interlife of Christ Jesus, which is the pearl of great price that we've discovered. For this we sell all. We sell out completely to God. For the children of this world are taken into captivity by the old tree of intellectual learning. I say this so often, it sounds a little insulting, but I don't mean it that way. A person that is godly, they are a god. Add godliness to your experience. And they do not have to be taught nor tutored like an animal. And they are altogether of a good understanding. And the heavenly voice of God speaks to them. Life presents itself and they understand all things. And they don't have to go to college and they don't have to go to school. Coming out of Egypt, they had no colleges, they had no schools. They were so mighty in their understanding. It was said unto them, as to 3 million people, when you enter into Canaan, the nations will be afraid of you because of your great understanding. Stephen's, the Bible said they beheld his face as that of an angel as it shined, because they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake, as the wisdom of Solomon was given. So, when it comes to the world, these are beasts. And they have to be taught A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. Like a little dog, say, stand up and wiggle your paws and then I'll feed you. And they don't know anymore. That's all they know. Whatever they're trained for, that's all they know. They know as to the length of what they go to, that's all they are. That's all they'll ever be. They are beasts. They come in as a beast. They go out as a beast. And their desire is to the world. And their desire is to the natural affections of the world, even that as to their human senses, which is relative to the natural things that emanated from God, as to the originality which is now aligned vanity and that Satan has perverted. And they are called the bonds child, and they feed from their human senses, either sight as to these 22 conductive nerves from the eye of the brain, or the hearing as to these nerves, or the feeling, and they have no life. They have no life except the life of their feeling. They put out their feelers, and it's like a bat that's blind. He goes as to like a radar thing by feeling. And they are blind, blinded by Lucifer. And if the blind lead the blind as to their religious activities or their polished scholars or them that are in the fields of dignitaries or whatever, they all fall into the ditch. So it's very obvious that they are beasts. But among them are brute beasts, some that are brutal. They ravish little ones. They tear. They kill. They do all these evil things for money and for lust. And they cannot control their passions. The Bible says that when God made them in his foreknowledge, he made them to be taken and burned. Brute beasts made to be taken and burned, because as he brought them into existence, he looked and saw them down through his foreknowledge that he was making them, but they would go into the fire. And as Paul preached to them, as in his time it was said, and these that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed when he preached. And these that were not, that were foreordained to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, they did not believe, and their eyes were blinded. Well, anyway, the Lord must have meant for me to say those few things there to you this morning. And we'll try not to keep you. This is camp meeting. And we're trying our very best to share a little bit with you as to the deep, wonderful mysteries of God. And then we're trying to bring to you a little milk for the babes. The Bible said that there might be meat in my house, which, of course, when you say meat in the house, you're talking about the meat, the revelation of the Word. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil, they receive the wonderful, deep, spiritual, revelational mysteries. For the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries, and that ye should pray that ye should receive the spirit of revelation. And I would that you were spiritual, because I'm your overseer, and I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, just desire the sin-sealed milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. Study your Bible, read your Bible, learn as to those things of the natural, which the world also receives as an ABC and a 1, 2, 3. But with you it's different, because as you get this seedling, it will go down into your heart and you will not be a reflector, but you'll absorb this light. And as a little babe to a divine conception, as to Paul saying, I travail till Christ be formed within you, as to this wonderful seedling, as to a divine conception, finding a fertile field, it will bring forth Christ Jesus, even from the childhood, as to the transformation of the mind, as to an instantaneous new birth of the interspirit, translated into the spirit of Christ as a new birth, as to your spirit translated into his spirit. And it will bring a wonderful transformation of your life, as to a graduality, as to the transformating of your mind into the mind of Christ, which when you finish your schooling, as to the graduation and coming to your diplomacy, you will from that elementary side of life come to a diplomacy, and it will be a transfiguration of this life being made manifest in your mortal genes, which is the change of the body as to the purchased possession. But in all of this, down through the church ages and the tutoring and much that needs to be said concerning this, you know, we just take our time and work with you as little ones to love you and to help you, and to sometimes we have to rebuke you. The Bible said that the minister should rebuke, and that openly, that others might fear and not do that. You know, and then the Bible said we should reprove, so we have to reprove. Then the Bible said we should instruct. And we have to instruct. And the Bible said we should correct, so we have to correct. And the Bible said, being the minister, you bear not the sword in vain. You're God's minister set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, and that the people should fear because of conscience sake. And that you are not there as a revenger to execute judgment upon the righteous, but rather ye are there as a savior before them, that ye should bless them, for it is said that I will raise up saviors, not as singular, but in the plural. Saviors. And know he that hath converted a soul has saved a soul from hell. You become a savior. So we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not us speaking, but him. And the Bible said they all should be taught of God. And so then when this wonderful thing goes out as to come to you to bring the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we're trying to help you. We love you. We're not trying to hurt you. So be zealous like children and repent. Be quick to repent and do the master's will, for the king's matter requires haste. Let's read just a little bit right here. Jesus said in the book of St. Mark, in the 9th chapter, the 33rd verse, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12. You know, that's the problem today with the ministry, and that's the problem today with people, as to wanting to lead one another, as wanting to lord over God's heritage. And Jesus told them about this. Now listen, he tells them that that's the kind of people the Gentiles is. And he speaks different of the Christians. So he said, but they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now let's just stop just for a moment now. If you would like to be the head of the tribe, if you would like to be the first, if you would like to be the chief, in another place he used the terms chief. Now, if you would like to be, then God's thoughts towards you is that you are only fit to be a servant, and that servant of all. And so then if you rise to great heights, the Bible says that is to magnify and elevate yourself. As to him that exalted himself, God said, I will abase him. If you come up to some great degree in life, as to a place in life that you are fabulous in the eyes of the people, and you are outstanding in the things of the world, God said, you then are an abomination in my sight, whether it be a singer, a celebrity, a president, a leader, a legislator, whether it be a millionaire, whether it be an overconfidence of self-esteem as to who you are and what you are, as to figure out things on your own, feeling that you don't need the leadership of God as to through the shepherd. And folks, I remind you again, you can't go out here on your own and stay out of church and go to heaven. Someone says, well, I know I can. That's a lying spirit and a lying vanity. You are saved by faith in God's word. And the word said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the very minute that you fail to assemble yourselves, then you have forsaken faith, because your faith is made known by your doings. And so when you stay out of church, you cannot possibly do that. You must have fellowship. The only way that you know that you are in the light, and when we say light, that means the understanding of God, your understanding being enlightened, that you're not walking in your own thoughts, which is intellectual darkness. The only way that you know that you're walking in the light is to his understanding, is that you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And this is the way that you know that you have eternal life, because we know that we have eternal life and we pass from death unto life. And this is because we have fellowship one with another and we love the brethren. That's the only proof of eternal life, is love. Though I know all mysteries, though I do all things, though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, I am nothing unless I have charity, which is God's spirit, love, a sacrificial love. So you can't stay away from the house of God and serve God. David said, I'd rather be just a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So then we know that we're walking in the light when we find fellowship. We know that we're walking in the light when we want to be with the brethren. We know that we're walking in the light when that enthusiasm, that hunger, and that thirst rises on the inside for that wonderful world of God, that great wonderful world of God. We know that this wonderful God on the inside is reaching out for others, and we are bubbling with that spring of joy, and out of our innermost being flows the rivers of living water, and it flows down to the thirsty. As the Bible said, let him that is thirsty come and drink. We should hunger and thirst after righteousness, and in so doing, then we shall be filled. All right, so then we know that we are a special people. We are a peculiar people. We are a separated people, and we are people that believe the gospel, and he that God sendeth as the minister will speak God's word, and these things are God's word. And faith by the hearing of these words will cause you to conform as to your deeds to the things of the world and our God, and not the things of the world, as to a ritualistic formality of the natural things that you religiously practice, thinking that you're going to heaven. All right, so then we are the beloved children of God. Who are we? Jesus said, who am I, Peter? Who does people say that I am? Someone would say, well, it's obvious, Brother Pike, that he could say that. And Peter said he was the Christ. As to the rent veil, Peter looked beyond the body and saw the Christ. Now, and the rest of them was looking for the Messiah and couldn't find him at all, because there was a man standing before them. But then on the other hand, is it just said to Jesus? No. If it's just said to Jesus, why was it said? And John and James, that's what your names are. But not as to the Spirit. ye are the sons of thunder. And when it was said, let us sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. He said, my Father makes that appointment. And the appointment, of course, was Elijah and Moses, the two candlesticks, the two olive trees. And they are on the right hand and the left as to represent the law and the prophets, which is swallowed up in Jesus as he stood on the mount when it was said, let us make three tabernacles. And he said, just one. The voice said, just one. All of this other came out of him, and it'll go back into him. It's a trinity to you. It's a divided thing to you. At Calvary, it is the dissecting, and the physician has made the incision. And there's two parts to it. And then there's a third part as to the integral part. And he's going in there because there is a fourth part that is hid in there, that is the germ or that thing that is eating you up, whether it's cancer or whatever, the parasite. And he skillfully, he goes in there, he cuts that open, he cuts this out, and when it's all gone, he sews you back together, and you're no longer a trinity, you're just one. So at the dissecting, God had to do this at Calvary to rend the veil as to the separation of the body and the spirit, to bring out this infiltration that has infiltrated the body. For within the body there's an infiltration, and it's a no good thing. For within me, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing is that which is in my body by the birth of Adam. And so then the physician had to go in there and had to cut that out, to get that out. And then after that, they came preaching at Pentecost saying, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Moses, and in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Elijah. Or not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as would be as to the titles. He said, not this at all. Remission of sin, that is in the wonderful name of Jesus. And this is something we need to remember, folks. Beginning in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission is taught in his name. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I bring this back to the root of this, in that the Bible said, if God had not left us a seed, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. But the seed, which is the root, the springing up of the root, the offspring of David. And today, he is the bright of the morning star. So then when we say salvation, when we preach salvation, we're preaching salvation. We're sent to preach salvation. Not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us. When we preach salvation, you cannot preach salvation except in the name Jesus. People that are going around leaving out the name of Jesus and that for remission of sin, they don't know what they're doing. They're only reflectors. They might preach divine healing. They might preach all of these things. They might have a great ministry. They might be able to tell you all kinds of things. They might tell you your name. They might tell you where you're from. All of these things might happen. Even the gifts don't mean that they got God, and it don't mean that they got salvation. If it means that they have God, how did Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, see visions and fall into visions or in a trance with his eyes open and see the Lord, when the Bible said he was a soothsayer and he loved the wages of unrighteousness and was killed because of his rebellion? If the case is that you can be gifted. See, and that means that you are a Christian. How is it that the women and the men, by the way, have these gifts as to sell these as fortune tellers and whatever? Why was it in the Old Testament that God had them killed? Because of their foolishness as to these mediocres that was between man and the spirit world. And God killing them out because he did not want man to communicate with the spirit world as to the corruption of those things. And how is it that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and Saul prophesied so that it appeared that he was among the prophets? And yet the Bible said he went up to Ramah Gilead with murder in his heart to kill David. And as soon as the Spirit of God left, the evil spirit would come and trouble Saul. See, now, if that is the way, and how was it that Jesus had 70 people with him that received, even as Judas, a part of that ministry, falling but transgression when he gave the revelation of the word? They forsook him. And the 70 left, and yet the 70 had made the statement, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. Calling me Lord is not enough. He said, find out if you're in the faith. Find out lest you be reprobates, Paul said. Prove that Christ is within you, that you have hope of eternal life. And that's where the world is today. The world is in a position today to where they need to prove that God is with them. Why should they do that? Because we are now at the midnight hour. We are now at the midnight cry. And gross darkness is covering the people. And someone would say, Brother Pike, how can you say that? You know, you look at your natural way of life and there's still plenty of exuberance and zipping you, you know, to the world. While the midnight cry could not be here. But nevertheless, the change is here. And gross darkness is covering the people. I say this so often. That's why we have the conflict of the racial problem, as every race representing something. And in the hour that we're living in, it is the changing time. It is that time of the midnight coming in. What is the midnight? The midnight is the change. Why? Because gross darkness has covered the people. And at midnight, we start the morning as we tick it away toward the crowing of the cock, or as toward the breaking of the day. And it is the time of the rent veil as to that midnight hour. See, so the darkness separated from the light, because when he came forth, the Bible said, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the face of the deep was filled with darkness, and everything was without form. It was void. And the light is breaking now. In the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. Because he reckons his time from evening until morning. And then the morning is the first day, or the breaking of Calvary as to the day star, when he said, I shall hate your image, or that is, I shall smite it at Calvary. If it is smitten at Calvary for you and I, then we don't have that sinful image anymore. It's buried, it's gone away. And with the dawning of this day star on the inside as to this great light coming forth that will eradicate, as the Bible said, to destroy the man of perdition, even this image that is void of that wonderful image, or that conformity of the great spiritual light in which we were made, when that light struck before God, began to process it through the dark room of this world. So, knowing that we are children of light, then we are a positive and not a negative. That fallen side is from the garden down to Calvary. Going through this thing, even as science calls this as to the past, the dark age, not having any record as the history. So that means that we are the children of light, and this revelational light within this radius and confines of this great city, even the lively stones, which is called the church, these that dwell in heaven, within the radius of this wonderful confine, we find the understanding of God in the Christ, the Lamb within our heart, the kingdom of God on the inside. And the Lord referring to you as jewels, as in Malachi, when I come to make up my jewels, I'll remember you and spare you as a man spareth his son. So ye are stones that is laid upon the foundation of the apostolic foundation that Christ Jesus laid when he chose the 12 whose names is found within the foundation of that city. Beginning at Calvary, and these stones as Paul, and yet not Paul, but Christ, the wise master builder, is building these stones up. And the Bible said, be careful how you build. Be careful what you do. For if you build upon these stones, hay and stubble, it's going to be burned up. And if your works go through the fire, and if it abides, ye shall receive a reward. But if it burn, then ye shall suffer loss. And the image that God despised is being done away with. God has already done away with it. It is foreknowledge from the foundation of the world when he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And look forward to Calvary as to the metamorphosis of the opening of the old cocoon and the butterflies to the inner man flying away. God already made preparations, giving this to us in Christ before the world ever was, before the foundation of the world, and bringing it to light as the rent veil or the opening of the curtains on the last great drama of this life to make manifest the inner man. For it was in the last day that he created the man. Out of all the things that he created, and in the last day he created man, and we're in the last 1,000 years of the 6,000 years, and so then now he is creating his God man or his God woman, and yet in Christ is neither male nor female. So then it's very obvious that God now has come forth, and this great light has come forth, and God has said, let there be light, and let there be a new image. Let the conformity of light come, and the creatures of darkness pass away. And with this great light doing away with the darkness, for this great light has sprung up to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And this great light is coming forth, and it's destroying, as Paul said, this man of perdition, as even Satan that sitteth on the inside of the people, which should be the temple of God. And he has shown himself that he is God, is to his intellectual ability and drawing all of the fame, the popularity and praise to individuality, that Satan may glutton over this thing and that he may rave over this thing with his vain dazzles and jingles of the world, which dazzle as to a glory will pass away. For there is a glory of the terrestrial, there is a glory of the celestial. And we have the glory of the celestial inwardly that shall be made manifest in our outer being. The world has the glory of the world as to the terrestrial, and will go to the grave and it shall diminish. The little thing that we say a lot of times, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all, as the little story goes? And the mirror answered, the bewitching one. Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? So then the old witch, Satan is, and which is symbolized in a type for little children that God may indoctrinate them even from their early days of youth. But one day, as to the little story, you remember the seven draughts, we speak of this so often, as to the seven draughts which represented typically everything having a spiritual significance, all of the things of God as to the invisible things from the creation of the world, clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse, to God perfecting praise out of the heart of a little child and speaking on a level as to say, suffer them to come unto me, a level to where even the little child can understand. And there's to a symbolic thing of the seven church ages as to the messengers ministering unto Snow White. And finally it was said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And the mirror didn't say, like this, you old hag, you certainly aren't. But it did say, Snow White, though your sins be as scarlet, God shall make them as white as snow. So then we know that the church is coming out now. And now the real life is coming out. As you being a member of his body, a member in particular, and you being the temple of the living God, and not as the old rags of the skins, as the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is caught with that intellectual wandering, but being in the mind of Christ and being the body of Christ. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as that in the wilderness of this old fleshly being made out of the body of skins, the Bible said God put them on skins, then as long as I'm wandering in this tabernacle, I am absent from God, Paul said, as to the natural. But whether I be as to the inner man in this tabernacle or out of this tabernacle, being caught up into the third heaven, I don't know. He said, but I do know that whether we were in or out, we should be present with God. As to the inner man being born again of the glory as to the Shekinah that's on the inside, even the kingdom of God that came at Calvary, the law and the prophets of John, then the kingdom of God in men is to the inner man has pressed their way into this wonderful kingdom of God as a translating thing, since we have, as the preachers down through the ages, preached this, that you must repent and be born again or be translated into the kingdom, preaching the kingdom of God is now at hand, and that the name of Jesus Christ is the door as to an entrance into this marvelous kingdom of the everlasting God. So the light came forth, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now let's just break that down, Paul said, being a preacher and a teacher, and you being people that are supposedly already going on with God. It's not so much as to preach repentance, you know, but as to perfect the church. So the great ministries of the 70 is beginning to cease, as to the healing and all of these things, as to those lights going out and those stars falling, as we said that it would be, as to their Trinitarian, unknowledgeable way of life, as to the things of God, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And this wonderful mystic thing as to the revelation hid within Christ that is not to be given to anyone except the church body, then all of a sudden it's revealed, as it was with the apostles when they said, Lord, why do you speak to these people in parables that are without? Said, seeing that they don't understand what you're saying. He said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But you that's within the confines to the 12, it's given unto you to know the mysteries. And so the mysteries is what translates the church. And that's what takes you out as to the revealed thunders and these kind of things. He hath reserved this to you because he said, John, don't write these things down. I don't want the scholars to have this and the professors to have this and them that are not willing to come together with the children of God. I don't want them to know anything except what's in this book as to, we say, 66 books here or a Bible, which means collection of books. Let them know that, but these mysteries you hold back. Don't write these things because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as Christ Himself, the Word Himself, as the fulfillment of righteousness into their heart, and He will reveal to them all the truth and righteousness of God, and they won't singular themselves off out here in a little group or as an individual doing their own thing so that they won't have to give in the offering to God or so that they can do their own thing and won't have to conform to any godly teachings as to a shepherd. Or be some secular thing out here that don't want to unite with the brethren or whatever. I'm not going to let them know anything at all. I'm going to let them go on with a reflection, a religious exuberance, and then cut them off at the pass. I'm going to cut them off at the gate. You know, you go down into Mexico and you can get into Mexico. You go into another country, you can get into another country. Give them a little pass and you can go in. Get on in there and you can buy and you can sell and you can just, any way you want to do. But you know you can't go into the interior. You have to have that visa or that pass that's given as a special thing. You can go so far. And that's the way it is with the grace of God. You can come into the grace of God. You can be under the illumination. You can feel this wonderful thing of the Lord God Almighty. You can feel this thing as to a religious fervor. You can feel as your sins forgiven, for God has taken them away with Christ Jesus. And the whole world's sins are gone. And you can enjoy that, and God has made that so that the whole world can get into the presence of this wonderful blessing of God as to reflect this light, that they might see their wrongs and then come to the knowledge of the truth and go their way and be cut off, so that God will be justified in the day of the judgment. As I gave you opportunity, you did not receive it. Even as it was Adam and Eve, that little prelude as being in the garden, they knew, and then down they went. So then God does that. He allows you to come in and you can see all the pretties. You can buy all the things you want of Mexico or the country or whatever. But folks, when you go into the interior, it's a different thing. And so then you come into this light, you reflect this light, you see the mercies of God, the love of God, it leads you to repentance. And then all of a sudden, when it's all over, as to your desire, the hunger and the thirst, you get back out under the light is gone, you only reflected it, you're not the elect seed. You didn't really have a desire for God. You got that gullible desire for passions and money and all the things you want to do. And you find yourself, even while you're present, looking back into Egypt, while you're present in the light, as this light comes on when they're all taught of God. See, and you go down, down, down to the depths of the despair of the dark, dark pit. Well, anyway, the Lord came forth and He said, let there be light, because gross darkness had covered the people. And today, gross darkness is covering the people. Why is it that in this end time, for many years now, that gross darkness has fallen on the people? Why is it? First of all, what is gross darkness? It's education. It's the intellectual knowledge of learning as to books and as to practical experience through life, as to development of your skills and way of life. Even though God recognizes skill, and that's given of God. But going through this thing, see, the Bible said, and the knowledge of mankind is foolishness to me. And it's only an intellectual reflection, as I said, that belongs to the animals. He that is with God's people, the Bible said, all of them are of a good understanding. So, they said concerning this body of Christ, when Jesus was about 12, and He astounded the great wise men. How is it that you know, never having learned? But they found out that he not only knew as to what they knew, but he knew greatly much more. And as the 3 million coming out of Egypt, they had no colleges, they had no schools, they had no industries, they had no hospitals. But the Bible said their feet didn't as much as swell. And the Bible says, as through all of this of those wilderness wanderings, the very aged people, their strength was as their day. And they moved around slime pits and moved through the wilderness. We've got aged people today that can't hardly even walk down from their house, you know, across the street, let alone through the wilderness and around these things. But they were strong and healthy and sturdy. And even people like Caleb, moving on up into age, Moses, 120 years old, and the Bible said the natural sources of his body wasn't abated. His eyesight had not grown dim. And when Caleb went up to take his inheritance, it was said, "Caleb, you're old, you know, we'll send somebody up." He said, "I don't need anybody. I can handle it myself." He said, "I feel just like I did when I come across the Jordan." And Abraham, an aged man, and there bringing forth children when he was supposedly dead, and likewise with Sarah, as to renew the youth. And Abraham, at an old age, climbing on a camel like a young man, going out to fight a battle and rescued Lot and defeated the whole army. See, this is utterly astounding, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles." And the eagle renews his strength. But you know how he does it? He takes his head and he gets down on a rock after he ages and he beats his head like that. You know, he'll take a serpent, he'll pick him up by the tail and he'll slam his head down on a rock till he kills him. And he'll take his own head and do that. And that head resembles a serpent when you look at it real close. And he'll take that thing and he'll beat that head till it's bloody. Beat it on a rock and he'll beat that crust off. And then all of a sudden it's just like his mind comes bright and brilliant, you know, to indicate the rending of the veil and to indicate the destroying of that which builds up to take away from God is to the separation between us and God, as the middle wall of partition of the intellectual mind of Lucifer that came as the old tree of human learning that got in between the great eternal mind of God as to the spirit and your human spirit on the inside, that which infiltrated the body to make it the veil as to the body that should die and the sentence of death within it, or who can deliver me from this body of death. So then we realize that when the light came, everything was dark. The intellectual darkness of the old tree of knowledge has literally covered the world. And man is more prone to have self-deceit and self-prestige and self-esteem more than ever in his life. And people are more as to the desire because of movie stars and prestige, whether aged or young, to look at their mirror on the wall, as to paint their face in the old bewitching way, as to the world, and to arch the eyebrows and to darken the eyes. You know, it's astounding where these things come from, because I made the statement, you know, putting this stuff on to make your eyes dark. Do you remember? I remember as a boy. That came from Hollywood, because the stars would drink so much and stay up at night until they begin to look like an old witch and they begin to get dark in their eyes. And so then after a while, because they were the leaders and people followed after that gullible thing, everybody began to darken their eyes, whereas they don't have to do a whole lot of it now because they're a lot like the movie stars. They're watching so much TV and junk and staying up at night till they just about got the darkness, you know, as to say, "And their eyes of understanding being enlightened, rather, as to them their eyes of understanding, as to their eyes naturally to show it, going spiritually blind, or going naturally blind, or with the darkness covering their eyes." Not only that, but the lipstick, when they paint their ruby red lips, as we say, and they got all kind of colors now, but when they do this, what does it represent? It symbolizes as to the whole. The Bible said, "And the whole is a deep ditch, and they that abhor to the Lord shall fall therein." And he likens the world to a whore and the church as to his elect lady, and to Jesus as to the bridegroom of the elect lady, and Satan as to the groom of that out in the world. So then, what is it? She's drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. And the Bible said, give her blood to drink, for she is worthy, as in the book of Revelation. So then, and when we see all this other that we could go through, some of this we have gone through, as to the painting of the fingernails and the toenails, as to the nails that went into his hands and the nails that went into his feet, and all these other things that brought the blood, we go on and on and on to the hair and whatever we have in some of these things before. See, you are the whore. And you are acting like the whore. And you dress like the whore. And you are the whore because you are the body of the whore. And the Bible said, I have cast her into a bed of adultery. And I will burn her children with fire. Or I will cast her into the bed of adultery. And I will cast her to burn her children with fire. Oh, that is to say, if Martin Luther come out and brought a Protestant move, it's all going back through the charismatic and the denominational way of life into that thing of the papacy of Rome as to the old church and the great whore. She that sits upon many waters, or that is supported by many people. So when it came forth, there was darkness. And when he looked, there was darkness. Today, this great God is approaching. Remember, after the tribulation, this great light comes forth. This great light comes forth, and the Bible said with this light after the millennium, it comes forth to bring the new earth, and the heavens flee away, and the earth flee away, and the mountains flee away, and there's no place found for the mountains or the sea or the heavens. And behold, there's new heavens. I make all things new, he said. And when you come by the way of Calvary, you are a new creature. And the old world is passed away, and you're no longer in the world, for I've chosen you out of the world, hid you with Christ in God. Because when you come to Calvary, it's the end of the world. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. A lot of you can't understand that, because they that have fallen from grace are under the law. You're still under the law. You're still under the curse of sickness and sin, poverty and death and whatever. But you that are children of God, you're translated into the light, and you're no longer in the body. You're no longer in the flesh. I've chosen you as the angelic man out of the human body, out of the beast body, out of the flesh, and I've hid you with Christ. I have put your spirit in Christ and went back to God who gave it. At death, your body as to death by Calvary. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the world and unto sin. By Calvary, your angelic being went back to God who gave it. And it is now dwelling in the body of the Lord Jesus as to the resurrected one. In that you died as to your sins here with Jesus. And your spirit went back to God who gave it. And that spirit is translated into Christ. The spirit, which spirit is in the body of Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And so today you are members in particular of that body, and the old image has gone away. All things have passed away. Why was that? Because the day star hath dawned within your heart. And the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give unto him the bright and the morning star, which is Christ Jesus within you. So he gives you that great, wonderful light. And we say the day star as to the sun is called the day star. See, and when that light is gone, the night comes, and the creatures of night come out. And when the church is gone, then the creatures of night will show themselves. They will awake to their exuberance as to whatever, because in the world they are in darkness, but you're children of light, sitting in that world of light, sitting together in heavenly places. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven, we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore we are they that dwell in heaven, the Bible said, and we should rejoice forevermore. Well, anyway, when the light come forth, see, after the millennium, it destroyed everything. And then the new earth, as for the spiritual world, came in. Now, folks, we who are Christians do not wait till after the millennium. This light comes to us right now. This is the brightness of his coming after Calvary. Now it's made known to the church, Paul said, being caught up into the third heaven, not being him but Christ, the revelator. He said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God as to the word of that light that said, let there be and there was. And so then the light comes forth. Here it is, the darkness. And everything is in intellectual darkness. And this light will destroy that intellect because it is Satan. It is the beast's body. And it is the satanic mind. And God will destroy that with the brightness of his coming. That's why there's so much sickness. That's why there's so much sorrow. That's why there's storms and earthquakes and plane crashes and wrecks and all these things. It's increasing. Wickedness, the Bible said, increases. And wicked men shall grow worse and worse. And it's not going to get any better. They're not going to have any peace. The Bible said when they cry peace, it shall be sudden destruction. And though they believe there's a coming in of peace, it's right now at the tribulation period. When we sent that flag to Israel, I told you what it had to do with, and sure enough, they're changing as from Shemer, as I felt they were doing. They're bringing in a leader that favors the Arab people, which will be a compromise and a detriment to Israel because they were warned they could not do that. And when they come in, they'll fall into confusion and into a tribulation period, and it's right on the verge of it. We said that that's what would happen. And the flag, where is the flag? It's flying out here at Bethlehem. And this camp meeting is what we're doing out here has to do with the crossing of the Jordan, has to do with the dissipation of the darkness. It has to do with the sevenfold light as to the revelational, as to the compound of that of the church ages, as to the Laodicean age. It has to do with that as to picking up and going away, a sign set into a nova, that this thing might come to you as to you being revealed, as to the revelation of the sons of God, as to the manifestation of the inner Son of God into the outer body, as to Thessalonians change, as to what Paul said about the mystery, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. For he that is born of God cannot die, in that death is when God's Spirit separates from your spirit. And God's Spirit being interwoven with your spirit is to that restored image. You cannot die, for death is to go into the lake of fire. But you can go to sleep as to the separation of your body from your spirit, in that as to the angel carrying away Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, the rich man lifting up his eyes in hell. You know, I sing that song a lot of times. You got to walk the lonesome valley. You got to go there by yourself. There's no one here that can go there for you. We sing that song. You got to walk it by yourself. But when I sing that song, what I'm doing, I'm talking to sinners. I'm talking to people that are not right with God. We go around with this thing of the lonesome valley. Folks, there is no lonesome valley to God's people. There is no lonesome valley that you got to walk as a valley of death, which is the lonesome valley. You can't die. You pass from death unto life. And you don't go down any lonesome valley. There's no biblical record of a lonesome valley for a Christian. When Lazarus died, as it is stated, the angels just came and picked him up and carried him to Abraham's bosom. There was no lonesome valley. And at that time, the Holy Spirit had never even been given. And when the rich man died, there was no going through a judgment as to stand before God and say A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. Has on this side so much and this side so much as to say you're good or bad. The Bible said he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And according to the Bible, that hell will give up the dead that's in it. And then they'll stand before the judgment as to say an eternal thing is to God appointing them their doom eternally. And of they that are in paradise will stand before God as to give up paradise. Oh no, but to stand there that the saints may judge the world. For the Bible said the books were open, and then the book was open, and the book that was open is you and I. As to the rent veil of Calvary, as to the separation of the body of the Spirit, as to the members in particular of the body, as to the bride of the Lamb, as to the way the bride has been treated, just like the Jews in the millennium will judge the entire world as to being head of the nation because of the way the nations have done them, then we will stand. And when we stand before God, the books will be open. And out of the heart, as the scientist is saying, the memory bank will always be there, never forgetting. And then the world will be judged according to the things that they've done unto us as unto the Father. They do these things or add not as unto the Father. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. I was hungry and you did feed me, he said. So as to doing it to the least of these, as to the members, as to mistreating the church, then we are the books that's open. For the Bible said we are an epistle that's known and read of all men. Then when the book was open, it was the Lord Jesus Christ as the rent veil of Calvary. And every one that was found is to be written in the book of the Lamb as to the blood before the foundation of the world, saying, and his name was written down in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. And Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's book of life, even while they lived and was ministering to the saints. In this the book was opened, and everyone whose names were not found written in the book, even the book of life, Jesus being the Word, as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made the book. For the Word came forth, put on flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as that of the Father, full of grace and truth, and at Calvary the great light came. And the Lord found that it was darkness, gross darkness. He spared it until the time of this light is coming to the knowledge, sparing it according to the Jews, Paul said, as to the great wisdom of God, cutting them off in ignorance that he might not impute their trespasses unto them, as to say they paralleled with the world out there, and giving a heavenly atmosphere as the grace from that blood as to that great day star, even that grace to take away the sins of the world as they get into, not into the interior, but into this part, as we say, just going across the border. And so then it is there until the Jews come in and the light strike the Jews, and the no more dead is to represent the deadness of the body. Was it Calvary through the great revelation? Paul said, if the casting away of the body as to the Jews be the reconciling of the world as to the Gentiles, the revelation, or that is the opportunity for heaven to all people. Then he said, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead as to the resurrection? In that I'm born to the Spirit on the inside, but I can't be born to the Spirit outside. I must come in through the adoption, is when the Jews come and when the law come. And so then until that time, then the purchase possession as to what God purchased at Calvary to the redemption of the body is not made manifest until I inwardly conceive of the seed as to the maturing of the child, as to the opening of the matrix, as to when we come down to the end of the way. Or that is to say, knowing that this body is the woman or the carrier, then that means the inner child, she does not have her inheritance as according to the old law until her church is born. Or the opening of the matric, which is the rent veil of Calvary, as when the head showed forth as to the travail of the woman when a physician can't help. And when the head as to Christ Jesus broke forth, then according to the Bible, when it broke forth down through the church ages, the physicians as to the church age messenger goes forth to deliver the child. And from that as to the end of this, we find the headship appearing as the heavens break open, and there it is, and this membership with him, because at the coming there all of the members has been exposed as to the change, and there stands the wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, as to the nova and the light, and away goes the light of the church. And my, what we could say as to the tribulation, the darkness, and a few things, even some things that we mentioned yesterday, as to one or two little things as to the brethren. So the light come forth. Here it is in the end time, the expulsion of Satan, Revelation 12, the angel, standing 10 and 7, revelation as to Christ and time no more. Ye are the people, Peter said, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And when this angel stands in the book of Revelation, it's very evident that the 483, as to those years of Daniel's prophecy to Calvary, that the seven has been divided from the 490 as to upon his people, the Jews. And the seven is secularly put over here, the 483 over here. And the gap that is open as to the seven from the 490, leaving the 483, that the seven is tribulation, the 483 is unto the coming of the Messiah when he takes away sin as to the rent veil. It is obvious in this that is the open door that John saw in heaven. And Peter had opened the door and the rent veil of saying, there is the Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, beyond the covering cherubs, as to Moses and Elijah that appeared on the mountain. So then it's very obvious that with this, that with the rent veil, then the kingdom of God came and there was the Ark of the Covenant. And it was seen, and it's been here ever since Calvary, like Brother J.T. having a vision, looking behind the sacred desk, that I saw something like unto the Ark of the Covenant at your church, and it was to be revealed to the people, and I seen out in the front, I saw the tree of life out in the front. And so then it's very obvious that with this, even as the vision I saw where the message took them into the millennium, see a little flock, it is very obvious that with this the light is coming forth. The light is coming forth. The light is coming forth as to the stone, as the Old Testament and the prophet. And the stone is to that pyramid capstone, that all-seeing eye. When it came forth, it cried, grace, grace, grace. And that's what Jesus did. When he come, he said, grace, grace, grace. I come that you might have grace. And he capstoned the work of Moses. There was the prophet like unto. And when he capstoned it, he said, Father, it is finished. And from the garden to Calvary, the typical allegoric types and shadows, Paul said, there is your formula right there. And it led to the capstone, and he said, it is finished. And about the time that it was finished, the Lord of heaven, the great light, came forth. And when he came forth, he hit that stone, that cornerstone. When he hit that cornerstone, the veil was rent in twain. The shadows was taken away. All of the types removed. And there was the reality of that wonderful great expose. And the Bible said, going right into the holies of holies now, beyond the veil. See, we can see this wonderful, marvelous thing of God, not as through a glass darkly, as through this death veil of the intellectual that fell on Adam and Eve, not being clothed with garments as to a skin, where he said, you cover with a covering, but not of me, as to the covering of cherubs, but the rending of the veil and the separation as to the man and the wife, and a lot that we could say concerning the children, the man, the wife. See, and Moses and Elijah, whereas Paul said in his day, could not speak particularly of the covering cherub. But today, the regaining of the lost covering of the Shekinah image in which we was made, not as to the outer man, as only a temporary grace coming from the blood as to the seed of mercy, but inwardly translated as into this with that interhidden thing, as we say, the safeguard of the garment, where it cannot be spotted, change, it cannot sin, death cannot come. So in this, the light come. It hit the stone. When it did, it refracted. It refracted. The light refracted. Take a cornerstone like that, you can refract the light. And the refraction of the light brought forth seven messengers as to the colors of the rainbow, as to a bridge from this great wonderful height of seeing, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And that great rainbow is of those seven candlesticks, as we see even here, before the throne of God. These things as the messengers coming up, and these lights as their message, as yellow and blue and red and white. You know, there's just three or four predominant colors that you cannot make, like blue and yellow and the red and these kind of things. And these things represent as the red man, the white man, the black man, and the yellow man. See, all of these are represented as the predominant colors, or these things that are shown as not a color. Some of them are called not colors. And the other as refraction, as interwoven and intermingled, to give the colors as to one message to another messenger and another messenger. And on down as the well spring up and the great move of God would go out. And then the last messenger springs up and the great move of God goes out. As in the sounding of the last trumpet, then that means the mysteries of God are finished. And as to the great angel, then, well, we look at it like this, that Israel did not know God as Jesus Christ. All they knew was as the great angel. And so when you see him in the book of Revelation, that's the tribulation period of the seven that's severed from the 490. And that means you're back in the worldly atmosphere of the earthly perspective, and that is the tribulation period. And those 7 years belong to the 483, making 490, which is all of the time that God gave for the world. He said, in 490 years, Daniel, is determined upon thy people, which was the Jew, because he was a Jew. And that will make an end of the world. And folks, no matter how you figure it, or scientifically or whatever, it all comes back to that. Even scientists have learned the day that was lost as to the sun standing still, the moon standing still, and to the days as to when Hezekiah was there and it went back X amount of degrees. They find out that they have to get that to make everything balance according to their program. So, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes, but I'm only saying this, and that is that with this great, wonderful smiting, then the refraction of the light, and then come the interwoven colors as to the message, and then this message is to the compound thing as the light in the end time sevenfold, and then the nova as to that that's going away, and that scientists says naturally that it will light up to a sevenfold and then go away and vanish. So we know that's the translation of the church, and we know that these seven messengers have to do with that dimensional stepping, as Jacob saw it going into heaven from Calvary. I be lifted up as to Christ, the smiting, the veil gone, and Paul said, now here's Christ. And with the nine churches, it was seven of them. Paul, that is choosing his churches, and him in the midst of the candlesticks at the end of the church ages, and not him but Christ. And that being behind, it had already passed when John turned. It was behind, and it was shown that it was Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, or Christ in the midst of the church ages, and that it's not the preacher speaking to you, but it was God Almighty that was there all the time. And the Bible said, and they all shall be taught of God, Christ speaking to them as to a measure, whereas they might be able to receive that, not the full measure, and that Paul was the capstone of it, and said, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, I saw things that I was not permitted to speak to this earthly level. And whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But down through the church ages as to Paul's teachings, Paul's revelation, Paul's churches as to coming on down through this transitional age of time, then coming on down, it was made known as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, as to the compound thing of the sevenfold light, as to the sounding of the last messenger, and as to the finishing of the mysteries, which means that the child formed on the inside, the opening of the matrix, the ten toes, the end of it, and there was the child caught up into heaven, as to rule with the rod of iron, the light going out, the darkness coming, and the Jews coming on the scene to bring, as it would be saying, Elijah, lest I smite the earth with a curse, or bring the Jews in when the Gentiles have gone out, or the church, because there's no reason for God to preserve the earth. If the meat is in the earth and would spoil without the salt, then if you're the salt of the earth and you go out, he has to have the Jews come in, that he may have reason to spare the earth. So the church ages are finished. This is the Laodicean church age of people's right. And now the child is formed on the inside. And now the revelation of the Lord Jesus as to the mind of Christ on the inside, whether you have just a measure as to a babe in Christ, a greater measure now as to the feminine perspective, or going on to be perfect as to the full measure of the full stature of the full reward, which is sonship of he that overcometh, he that be perfect shall sit down in the throne with me, and shall rule with a rod of iron, and break the nations as pottery. For he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of a hidden manna, which, as Jesus said, is not made known to the world. You know, I remember when we put this little thing on the top of the church out here, Brother Ratley had made it and put it together, which was very outstanding because he comes into the Jewish perspective. He'd made it and he'd put it together. In this, when I got ready to go up the ladder, you'll just have to pardon my sniffing. I got ready to go up the ladder and there was nobody around to work this thing out. One man could go up the ladder, and I had this thing, and I thought, I'm going to set it up there, and I'm going to put a light on the top of this church. And if you notice, things out here are built according to a pyramid. They say if you set on a pyramid, a good thing will happen to you. But nevertheless, I thought, well, what in the world am I going to do? I don't know how to do this. And I thought, well, what can I do? And I thought, well, I don't know what to do. I got to have my hands to hold the ladder. And this thing was a big thing, and I thought, well, I don't know what to do with it. And then I heard something say, well, put it on your head. And so I did. I just said it. I thought, well, if I put it on my head, and I heard something say, you can see, this is clear. This is a glass work. So I put it on my head, and up I went. And then I set it up on the pyramid. So then the later, the Lord showed me what had happened and what he was doing when that light was ever turning up there. See, on a dollar bill, you see an all-seeing eye. Paul was the capstone of that. When Jesus came, that was the capstone. It's finished. It was smitten, and when it was smitten asunder, stood dividing asunder of the body and the spirit, then it was Christ separated from the body, as to made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Paul said, touching the law, I'm blameless. A Pharisee is a Pharisee. And all these kind of things to bring in the Christ side of it. And today the true Jew has Christ on the inside. And this great camp meeting as to this tent would go on and on and on and on. As to the tent, in about 10 years since it's been set, and all of a sudden Colorado, Pike's Peak, and then being here and these kind of things, and you coming and patiently listening, and that I'm taking a little longer this morning than I was going to. As a matter of fact, I was going to have somebody else speak this morning. I said, Lord, unless you tell me to speak, unless you press me to speak when I come in, I'm going to have somebody to speak this morning. So even last night, I considered having somebody to speak. Since this has to do with the revelation as to the camp meeting and the change of the church and the church going out after this, it's going to be an unusual thing as to the world and what happened. and the sun will begin to drop. The midnight cries here. And as the midnight cry comes, that means that these that have had light by intellectual reflection will begin to drop into darkness as all the light leaves into gross darkness. And the others that have been in darkness in the midst of these people that are darkness and yet illuminated to the extent as too they had to reflect this light and yet they have it on the inside growing has to be revealed to them and yet protecting the body and that it's not been changed. God had to give that to those that are without to protect us. So then they're in heaven, we're in heaven. John in Revelation saw them all in heaven. He saw the devil in heaven. And the devil being in the human body as coming to present himself before God as in the days of Job, then this grace is upon that body. And as long as those sons of the devil come, children of Belial, then Satan is on the inside and they're very religious. They reflect this thing, but they will not live holy. They cannot live holy. They still on the inside hunger and thirst after the things of the world. And if the world is in them, the love of the world, then the Father isn't there. And that thing of the television and all of the things of sports and all of the eating and the drinking and the buying and the selling and the faces and the form and the clothing and the visiting at to relatives and frocks and all of these things of homecoming and everything as to ritualistic that belong to the flesh. That's their hunger, that's their thirst, businesses and money and securities and whatever. See, but the thing is, you have the seed of light and the seed of holiness, and it's gradually overcoming your body to make manifest in your mortal genes even this life of holiness, even Christ as to the spirit of holiness. Paul said, whom I serve with my mind and my spirit. So with this gross darkness coming in, it gets greater for them, and they go down, down, down. And it gets more light for us as we go up, up, up. Into this wonderful dimensional height, first heaven and second heaven and third heaven, Paul said, caught up to the third heaven. So we know then that this great light come, and he said, let there be light. And he saw that the earth, which means your body, fallen from his presence, was void, void, which means void of his likeness, void of his image, that it had fallen from this wonderful light image of Christ in which you were made as to that wonderful mind before you could conceive of that mind to know to eat of the tree of life or to follow Christ. And so through the weakness of the flesh, it went to Lucifer as to the tree of knowledge, and the world started and the anti-God started and all of these things as to a type which is lying vanity, Solomon said. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit and the world and all that's in the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. For my word shall not pass away, and you are made the body of the word as to the body of the Lord Jesus. So then in this, when we see the light coming forth, we know that he found it void of the image. And darkness as to intellectual ignorance upon the deep, as to that bottomless pit of ever learning and never finding a foundation for truth, because it has no end as to the darkness and the wilderness wandering, but the things of God as to the mind of Christ have an end and make sense as to the mysteries being finished at the sounding of the last trumpet. So, going into the wilderness world, all of this dope that we see, all of these things as hallucination, has to do with in the last days the children seeing visions, and visions are revelation as to visions which is of the mind, and you subdue the body and it makes itself to where you can see it just like Daniel did, as to seemingly with your eyes, but yet it's on the inside. So the revelation is now coming, and the children of visions is now coming, and it has to be an antitype as to give us the age. Which means that he has said, let there be light, and there was light, and all of the other dissipated as to the darkness, to the change, as to the manifestation of this image of Christ, and that is to the glory of God, and all of a sudden we find out that we've been in heaven all the time. As to this child on the inside, it's been through those tutoring ages, but it's been there all the time as to being sealed and not being able to be hurt, and not being able to sin, not being able to die. It's kept spotless. And then at the coming of the Lord, a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, it's made manifest, and the body's changed. The shadows move away, this perverted image is destroyed, and the man of perdition, and there in its stead is Christ Jesus. as the Son of God, as to which Adam was when the Bible said he was not in the transgression, and that before the fall, as to the second man Adam being resurrected from the dead. So it's very obvious that the Lord has brought this thing down through the church ages and brought it down to you and I, and the preachers have preached you into heaven. And yet it did not, in that you were born of the Holy Spirit, you went into heaven. And you've been in heaven all the time. And Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. And all of a sudden, when the light comes forth, then Lucifer is cast out. Because the children of darkness, as to the blood life, cannot come into the presence of God anymore, because blood life is off of the seat of atonement. And the life that's in the blood, you now have the royal blood, as to from the soul, as a living soul, to the quickening spirit, as to the chains. And that means that blood life is over. It means that intellectual government is over. And the age of the Gentiles is over. The end of America, that we could say many hundreds of things about. As to the calendar and the many other things that we could say as to things that are happening. See, and it means that it's over and the child is now there at the birth. As to the heavy taxing, Mary was heavy with child. And at that time, coming down upon the churches, they're doing right now, as we predicted years ago they would do. Now the child is there at the birth. So it means that the woman with her feet on the moon at that time was heavy with child and ready to be born. As to the child or give birth there. And it is very obvious that America's called the woman. It's very obvious that she's gone to the moon. And they have highlighted the footprints on the moon. And that when Jimmy Carter came in, it had to do with JC. As we say, and many things that we could say as to the plains of Dura and the things that's taking place as the antitype. And of the desert storm, as Sister Betty and I being there during the time of the desert storm, and while we were there in Israel at this time, or the purchase of the place that we purchased in Israel at this time, or why that I went down the streets there in Dolorosa as the Spirit of the Lord came upon me as to prophesy and say, and the time is fulfilled. The time is at hand. So in this, we are right there now as to Satan being cast out, because when the light withdraws, as to the reflection of those that are the image of the devil or the children of Belial, then the brilliance of this world, as to those intellectual, cannot reflect this light. And Satan within them, as they go into darkness, he will be in darkness. That means no more heaven. He's cast out. No more heaven. And then he'll go about like a roaring lion and a human being to bring up the man of perdition, as to the beast, the head of the evil, to consolidate his kingdom, to bring forth the mark, as to the German mark, as we said the other day, that by means of a laser. To bring it forth, he will come forth then, trying to devour all that he can that will not come into that, as to his confiscating. And we're right there at that thing right now, folks. So we know that the casting out of the spirit of Lucifer or Satan is with the brightness of this coming. It is exposing him and showing him to be what he is as an intellectual thing. And it is bringing Christ or God to the surface. That to say, let there be light, and you are changed from that evil, wretched creature of darkness and the metamorphosis and that old generation of vipers and the rent veil and the butterfly that went out. Now that is gone as to the cocoon, and the body of the resurrection comes up, and the first man Adam as to the beast is gone, and the second man Adam comes up as to the resurrected that appeared on the mount as to the transfiguration, as to Thessalonians chains. See, which means a terrestrial body and a celestial, and all of a sudden you find out that you're the celestial body, and at this midnight cry, you do have the all, and you can light your lamp. And all the rest of them are just a bunch of reflectors, religious reflectors, that don't have the spirit of holiness on the inside or the spirit of eternal life on the inside. And all of a sudden it dawns on them that they're children of darkness. And like the vision I had as to the dividing asunder when I preached, and to my left, all of them people begin to gobble like turkeys. You know, the little saying in the world, don't be a turkey. So on the right I looked, and on the right all of the people could speak. They could communicate as beautiful as they communicated. And all of them on the left, as to the dividing asunder, all of these over here went into a state of confusion and was grumbling and mumbling and saying things they couldn't even understand each other. So it's very obvious that the time is here. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And the world went away, because it's an intellectual negative in the positive appearance. So it means that you that are children of God, you're already on the verge of being manifested because you are discovering by the message that you're already in heaven. You're discovering by the message that you cannot sin, that he hath never allowed you to sin as to mark anything up against you, never in all of your creation, that your name was wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you are a virgin, subjected as to the outer man to vanity and that as to the cocoon, and with that it had nothing to do with the indwelling man as to that of Christ preserving you. And that these others have always been beasts and you've been in the midst of them, and the grace was so that God could get you out from among them because he's angry with the wicked every day, saying, I will destroy the wicked and pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth, for their offerings are abomination in my sight, and their prayers are abomination in my sight, and there's no peace to the wicked, he said. And all nations that forget God, I will turn them into hell. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So evidently this great meeting, as to this camp meeting, as to little Bethlehem and a place where the babe was born, that's called a baby farm, has great significance. And many hundreds and thousands of things, in that the great is the mystery of the multitude of his thoughts. Are ye ready for the bridegroom to come? The midnight hour as to the change, as to yours to the daylight, and the others as to the darkness. They cannot make that crossing. And the stars fall from heaven, even as the Jews in Revelation 6, as to the seal, the fifth seal. See, as those stars fall from heaven, the Jews representing that. But the redemption is on its way. We sing that song, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Let's stand together. You've been real patient. I've took much, much longer than I intend to take. But this morning I felt had a great meaning as to what it would be, because as it was of yesterday, the fourth coming in. And as of today, they have a wedding that has a significance. So then, what is this that is happening? What is this? The mind of God in the beginning was the Spirit, the great light. Before the beginning, it was the Spirit, the great light. And from that came a thought as to a word of formation, as to a vocal utterance, and to a sound, but as to by that comes faith of the hearing. And through that, the word found its way into your heart of spirit and life, and going down into your heart, and not as a reflection of grace, while you turn that into lasciviousness, as an indwelling hunger and thirst for the world with your ritualistic, charismatic way of life. But as to the seed, and not everyone, but as unto the seed, he said, for in Isaac shall the seed be called, even in Jesus. So here you are as to the seed, not as to many, but one, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as members in particular, but one seed. When he has come, then the promises of life is unto him. As to the child under the throne, and you're suddenly discovering that the word rapture, it's not even in the Bible, and that it's transformation from thought to thought, from mind to mind, understanding to understanding. And that it's a translation of spirit into his spirit of life as the kingdom within. And it's a transformation of mind as to a graduality, as in Egypt the blood applied, and a translation unto life as to the Passover of death through that intellectual darkness that's allegorically shown. And from the Red Sea as to the crossing of Calvary over to the Jordan of that death as to the barrel, as to the grave, in between that death, as to the barrel of the grave, the Jordan, which is representation of the carnal mind, that all the way from this bloodline of Jesus, down into the heart of the earth, as to the death and the life of Joseph, down there, and then coming up with the keys, as to the resurrection, over the grave, over the Jordan, into the Canaan, or here we are in heaven, standing here as it was with Ruth when she came with Naomi into the land of Boaz, the great rich man, and there becoming the bride. So it's very obvious that all of the allegoric things are happening. How many hundreds and thousands upon thousands of things has been revealed to me and belongs to you and to the church and to the wonderful world of God. They call it the world of tomorrow, so the Armstrong program. But as the song we wrote, it's the world of today to you and I. Only the world of tomorrow, so them that cannot see beyond the veil. So in this, God said, let there be light, and you become the bodily image of the Lord Jesus. You're no more void. You're no more void as to the image. You are now the image of God. You are no more without form, that is, as to the change, as to the image. And no more void as to the understanding of God, as to the intellectual darkness of groping in the darkness. But you now have the light. And as to the divine divinity of that world of light. And he said, let there be light. And the lesser light was as to the reflection as of the world and the creatures of night. And the wandering stars as the nickel and rock to reflect. As to the followers, as when Lucifer was cast out and a third part of the stars fell. Because as to the moonlight, a reflector, it has to do with those reflectors. And as the moon turning to blood, that is the fire, fire in the natural blood and the physical spirit in the spiritual. And as I say again, they don't realize that they're in heaven. But when they get in hell, they can tell the difference. Now they can eat and drink and frolic and have a sovereignty. They can fight. They can go to their ball games and wrestling matches. And they can go on with their foolishness of dishonoring their bodies with their frolics and all of their things and gullibly confiscate us to their own desire. And they can run to the dentist and the doctors and anything else just to stop their pains or whatever. But in hell, you don't do that. And when the light of the church goes out and the reflection of this great, wonderful understanding that was given to the children before they went into Canaan, it will be gone from the world and there'll be a bunch of ignoramus, a bunch of beasts. And the ABC and 1, 2, 3 won't be sufficient to bring them relief. So you rejoice forevermore. And as I said at the first of my service, don't think of Jesus of any way. Except he's your master. You're the apple of his eye. You're his darling children. No one can pluck you out of his hand. You pass from death unto life. And you are they that dwell in heaven. And no one can judge you, though you are the saints that will judge everyone. No one can lay anything to the charge of elect, for he has perfected them forever. And you're elect according to his foreknowledge. And you are perfected forever, having been sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Thus he hath perfected you forever, or made you perfect, having justified you by faith in his righteousness and glorified you, change you for knowledge, and doesn't see you any other way except as his workmanship in Christ, as that which is perfect. As Adam, all under death by the sins of one man. As Jesus, all. As to obedience unto righteousness, are now in life and you had nothing to do with it. You were elected unto grace before you ever came into this world. You have nothing to do with it. As I say again, your salvation be of him. Christ within you and your hope of glory be Christ. And that's what will make your change. And if you're going to get reward outside of that, you have to go on to perfection as to the daily sanctification of your willingness as to a bodily thing and the manifestation of allowance of Christ to divine submission as 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold as to whatever you want to be to get out of the leave off with the world as to those things. Bringing forth fruit to perfection. Even if your fruits were burned, the Bible said you'll suffer loss if your works are burned, but ye yourselves shall be saved as though as at the fire. So then let's bring forth fruit to perfection and not have faulty fruit. As these seasons that come upon us as to sadness and sorrows, as to winter times and frost or whatever, let's be diligent as in Florida they set the blow heaters out or they cover over in Israel with plastic from the things that would damage their fruits that they might have. Fruits unto perfection as to the perfect fruits of the Spirit of love and peace and joy and meekness and long-suffering and godliness, understanding the spirit of revelation, all these wonderful things. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I love you. Jesus loves you. The bride says come. The bridegroom says come. Let whosoever will come. The wedding is on. Let's remember that even today is that wedding that's under the tent. Remember Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and today it's Pete that's barren. And remember, Jesus said to build on the rock. I was thinking about the rock. Brother Taylor came along this morning and mentioned it there at the door. Building on the rock, for he said, Peter, which means a stone or a little stone.
Whereas the name Sandy means stone also, but it means a sandstone that can be washed away and it'll deteriorate. It's unstable. See, and it takes as to building upon the stone, as to the man who was not in the transgression and the woman being in the transgression, that it is shown as to the church, and she only becomes one with the stone that's unmovable. As to that, as to having the keys to the kingdom and what this has to do with, and the dispute as to whether it should be under the tent or whatever. And I felt it was to be under the tent. I didn't see anything. I just let them dispute over it, whatever. But anyway, it looks like it's going to be under the tent. And with this, as to whatever we could say with many multiplied things as to Amarillo, Texas, and Texas, and Houston, and the people coming up in so many multiplied things. As to the purchase of the land in Colorado. But with what we're saying as to these few things, and so as not to weary you, see, much learning causes weariness of the flesh, but revelation is the stimulation as to life and the quickening as to Moses' 40 days on the mountain and back for 40 more days when he didn't weary and his eyesight didn't wax dim, even as it was with Enoch. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death after 300 years. And even as Methuselah, 900 years old, Noah, a number of others, wasn't weary, going strong. Everything's going to be all right. We sing that song. I wonder if we could sing that chorus together. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came. Save my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came to save my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Sometimes I feel like heaven has come down. Heaven has come down. Heaven's all around. Sometimes I feel like heaven has come down. Heaven has come down on me. So let us pray. Praise my Lord, praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Praise my Lord, praise the Lord, praise when the sun goes down. So beautiful to be a Christian, serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness. In the Holy Ghost, knowing that you passed from death unto life, as in the vision when I saw them in the millennium, I said, you made it. You made it. Glory to God, you made it. Someone says, Brother Pike, I'm struggling if I can just hold on and make it. Well, I pray to the great God of heaven that you can. But a voice said, come up hither, John. And when you get to where you understand a little better, come up hither. And you won't have to worry about the holding on and the holding out, because there's some that's already made it that dwells in heaven that can't sin and can't die. And hallelujah, some of them are a little Bethlehem. Somebody say hallelujah. God has taken the hypocrite by surprise. He said, and I will take them by surprise, for they think I'm altogether such a one as they are. But I'll meet them face to face as a bear robbed of the whips, and I'll tear them into pieces. And them that have been religious, really, for reflecting this light and going on in the exuberance of the love of the world and doing their things and looking at us as some old fogies that don't understand, but that they're smart and they're kind of handsome and kind of pretty anyway, and they're kind of special, and whether young or old, they've got something that is a little extra and outstanding, and they know the way, and it's through that old intellectual thing, made themselves equal with God by their own intellectual ability of lifting themselves up, the serpent climbing up into the upper lintel, and that John said it was a generation of vipers on their belly, and that God had put them on their belly, and all of their labors for their belly, of the dust they eat and survive of it, because the Bible said their labors for their belly and for their mouth, because their belly craves it of them, and they are wise, all right, like the serpent. But the thing is, God took them by surprise. And with all of their reflection, it is as mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. Like the little sermon that we preached, is to bring in a little thing as to Pat Boone saying that he never knew when he heard this sermon from the tape that there was so much gospel in a fable as to Prince Charming and his Cinderella, or the little girl with the dishpan hands, the one across the track. And so it was as to God giving to the elite, as to all the sisters of the upper echelon, the world of Esau, that they might enjoy the glamour and the glory, while the little girl with the dishpan hands, living on the other side of the track, as we said, living a holy, simple, down-to-earth life, not wanting to be anything in the world, but wanting to be something for Jesus, and patiently waiting at the midnight cries with the oil to light her lamp, waiting for the call of the bridegroom. Let's sing that little chorus, can we? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting spotless white. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Sing it with me. Better get ready for that bridegroom. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing it with me. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Sing with me now. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. And Jesus said, let there be light. And when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and the darkness dissipated, and great light sprang up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. But the darkness, as to them of intellect, could not comprehend that great light. But the children of light comprehended. So get ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, get ready, remember. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I know the bridegroom is coming. But we look at it wrong a lot of times as people. We look at it as he's coming, and then we're going to get right in our heart. That's too late. He's been here all the time. We sing that song, and he was here all the time. See, he's been here all the time. That conception came as before the well ever was, and the travail is on, and the child is ready as to the opening of the matrix, and the coming of the bridegroom means the change of the body. Of that is to that light, that all on the inside. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts, and if you disobey me, I'll move your candlestick. So it's very obvious that we're down there at that place of the change, which is the coming of the body, which is the bridegroom. Dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. One more time, the altars are open. Better get ready for that bridegroom to come. Better get ready before the bridegroom comes. Be it morning in the night, we're all resting spotless white, and we're ready. Whoa, one more time together. Oh, be ready for the bridegroom to come. The world can't get it. Oh, be ready for the bride. See, the world can't get it. They said, Jesus, why do you speak to those people in parables? And when you read that Bible, you don't think that's a parable. But God being a spirit, the Bible said, He spake unto them in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto the people. And all that's parabolic, and all of the world is parabolic, and all of your understanding is parabolic, and you are a reflection as to a parabolic of life. But folks, there are some real folks. There's some real gods, genuine gods that can't die. Appointed unto man once to die, and as a man we died in the Lord Jesus. But it's not appointed unto gods to die. Gods cannot die. That's why there are gods. And ye are gods, Jesus said. There's no way that you can die. You pass from death unto life. In that feeble, gullible desire of the human body, them that are given to the outer man, and them that are given to the flesh, and them that are given to the beast, you, God, has put out of His sight forever, and soon the light of His presence will be gone. As to the reflection of this grace that has kept you alive and helped you until the true body can come out from among the creatures of darkness and make this wonderful change. So you that love the Lord and you that have the all, light your lamps. The old lamp lighter, as we met the song, going alone to light the candles of the night. For there was electricity and he would light the lamps. And you are the light of the world, and the world is total darkness. And every one of you coming together in the candle power, as scientists say, and the light has gotten brighter toward the end time, even to the fluorescence. So then that means that you're coming together more and more as to the light, brighter and brighter to the sevenfold. And everything is coming clearer and clearer as to the light of that understanding. Enter spirit as to the candle of the Lord has been lit by the revelation of the all-seeing eye of God. And it's growing brighter and it's growing brighter and it's growing brighter. Cleanse the globe so the light can show through. Don't let the smut be on your globe. If you have the oil and the wick and the light, then cleanse your globe that you might shine brightly at this last moment. Oh, I'm ready for that bridegroom. Done got ready for the bridegroom. Be it morning or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Praise God. Sing it again. For time. You know, when Brother Branham come, a great mighty prophet of God, he came as the end time messenger. And everything had to look to Brother Branham. In spite of all that they could do, the ministry of the Western world as to that springing up in Dallas, as to the tree, it sprang up and great revival swept around the world. And everything had to submit to Brother Branham as the great man of God that was on the scene. Even the Moses of the hour as to the great deliverer. And they did, because his ministry was so magnified. The power was so great and so magnificent that it was drawing the people's attention. And not like that as to Balaam, but as to God, as to a real manifestation of light. And that with this, as it was said when he was baptizing in the Ohio River, we baptized there in the same place. along Spring Street, and it was said, and as John forerun the first coming, you'll take the message for the second. And God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, and the great light. Brother Branham came as in the evening time of the shadows, as a prophet, likened to an eagle, as he compared his message, because he was in the eagle age of America and was to close out that age to bring in the millennium age of the dove, as to the great Holy Spirit, because an eagle is a war bird, as to representation of that of David, as David that could not build the house of God because of the blood on his hand, as to the war. But then King Solomon, as it was Jesus, he went down in blood as David, the prophet likened to Moses. But as to Joshua over into Canaan, as to dealing with the heavens when Moses dealt with the earth, as to the natural things of the earth and the great miracles, as to the fire on the mountain and the waters opening up, but Joshua dealt with the heavens. And the Bible said, as the time of Joshua, never had God ever hearkened to a man's voice as he did that of Joshua when he commanded that the sun should stand still over Gibeon, and that the moon should stand still in the valley of Ajalon. And so they crossed over the Jordan. The great pillar of fire was seen no more. As to the pillar of fire, and if we had time to go into Revelation, as to the blood life and the life within the blood, as had gone into captivity through the fall, as to the beast, and Jesus coming in the image of the sin of mankind, as God within a little human form called William Branham. And he completed everything, as to say it's finished, and brought it all together, as to say, they said, tying the loose ends together. But even with all that greatness, the church did not come in. No many of his people felt that there was a bride. It's true that they reflected many things, and it's true that there was bride material among them, and as to the bride, but that didn't translate the churches to the change. And here we are about 20 years down the road or more. See, but even though he did it and said it is finished, yet in all of his books it's unabridged. And it was left in a wilderness, as to when he would go to say something and would veer off on something else. Or as it was in a wilderness and all of his followers, as to hunting. And these kind of things, not understanding, and to God in a big way in sports, which was very detrimental to him. And as Brother Branham said, within just 2 or 3 years after my decease, they'll go into a denomination, which they've always done that, with a great move of God. I said that the other night, you can't go back to the same nest and raise a batch, because the mites get in. They turned that in as to the fleas and whatever. They turned that into a money thing. And they turned that into an association. And they turned that into an indoctrination of those things as to the natural, the worm getting into the bread. Whereas God said, Jacob, thy worm I will help thee. As to the body, the old intellectual mind of the serpent, the generation of Bible. But when Brother Branham was killed, I remember his life so well, as it was shown to me, of what he came for when the angel of the Lord appeared to us in Florida, there in Hialeah, Florida. And I saw the death of Brother Branham and the year that it was to take place in, and the life being spared of the wife and the daughter, and the return from Arizona back into Jeffersonville, and the things that would transpire to his life. And what it was is to the great coming of the mighty man of God. And I saw this great wonderful thing, and we went over into Hialeah, and there the angel of the Lord, or into Miami, and the angel of the Lord appeared to me. I saw the death in Hialeah, whereas we spoke to Brother J.T. Parnell of this at that time. And when Brother Branham had his wreck, I said, Brother Branham will die. I began to fast and pray, and I said, Lord, if there's any way to spare the man of God, spare the man of God. Because from his ministry sprang that great move that you saw of Old Roberts and Billy Graham and all the others. And every one of them had to answer back to him. And when the life went out of the root as to that, and Brother Branham died, all of them turned to holy water and selling shoestrings and peddling and everything else and fornication and whatever, because the life had returned. Because of the parasites, the life had returned to the root, and the tree had to die, but it had to bloom again. it had to bloom again. And as to the Western world, then in the Eastern world. And so the voice of healing went away, and Gordon Lindsay went away, and it came into the place as to Christ to the nations, as to the contact that was made when I predicted they'd take the body of my brother up from over in Memphis there in the graveyard and transfer it all the way over here and put it in a gravesite out here. And when this came around to that time and some was going to take that body up, the authorities said, you cannot. He died with a Bright's disease and he's been there too long and you cannot. There's no way. And somebody called back here and said, did you know that they will not let your brother's body be moved? The authorities said, absolutely not. I said, the authorities have nothing to do with it. God said it'll be moved, it'll be moved. And immediately something happened and the authorities backed up and they moved the body. And you remember the graveyard being filled with people. And when they brought the body over, it has great significance as to the purchase of the land from Charles Steed, out my brother's name being Charles, and many things to say that. And so then, Brother Branham went into the wreck, and some told me, said, you're wrong, he won't die. So the prophet won't die. I said, well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I said, but according to what I understand, he will die just before Christmas Day. I said, his wife won't die. His daughter won't die, who later died as a result of the reckless to the woman. So it happened. And when I talked to Billy Paul, Billy said, just before Christmas Day, Brother White. See, he wrote us a nice letter not too long ago and told us how he appreciated us, the ministry. But here's the thing I'm saying. Though Brother Branham brought it as Jesus, it was still within the veil. But when he had the wreck, he had had a vision. And this vision was that he saw this little thing. He'd had trouble with his stomach. Always had problems with a nervous stomach. And then he saw his healing. And this little thing out of the tree jumped down his throat. And he saw this little thing where it went into glass, as it would be. It was thorns, as this other little thing that he saw, that went into the thorns. And when Brother Branham went into the windshield, it was this outer body, the old cocoon of the little thing of physical problems, and to the healing, and as to the death, doing away with that thing that gives you so much trouble, as to that outer you, which is that thing that always causes the problem. And as to the thunder on the mountains when he saw it, and Joseph was spared, and this great thunderous thing came, and he didn't understand. Obviously, it was the wreck. As to the thunder and the crash, and Billy Paul told me that Joseph had just gotten out of the car and had come up to be with him, which was an unusual thing, but nevertheless, it happened that way. And with that, as to the rent veil, showing in the natural, as to our intellectual understanding, when the head was rent, and they said that practically every bone in his body was broken, to show that that thing was over as to the natural, and that we should keep our eyes on Christ. As to praise a person in a good thing, and to lift up the prophets as Paul, as the great men of the earth, but to remember Christ. And looking forward to that headstone of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose back was bruised at Calvary, as to the transgression of human beings, and for their sins was he delivered. So then with the rending of the veil, it indicated now the great revelation of Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus, there came forth the Christ, as to the crossing, when Joshua went into the light, and the walls of opposition, as to intellectual reasoning, fell, and the pillar of fire, as to life within the blood, or the demonstration among the human people, were over. As to that thing, even the licensing, as Junior saw in the vision, Junior Jackson, when he was licensing Brother Branham, as to this thing coming as within the veil, the sleep of the dreamer, and going through this thing, as to that hid within the veil, as the Christ within the veil. And this, all of a sudden, hid within that veil. See, until the masterpiece was finished, and now
It was to break open as the great light, the revelation of the Son of God, even the light that it was in the days of Paul, when Paul, the great revelator before anybody ever come on the scene, even as the seven church age messengers, Paul being Christ, as to the fullness of this mind and revelation, he said, folks being beaten, the body stone left for dead, he said, it's not me living. I'm killed all the day long, he said, it's Christ. And so then in this, we are appointed unto death. The light is now here, and the true light now shines, which is the translation of the church, as to reveal to them who they are. Even as Brother Branham said one time, he made the statement, said, and when the church recognizes who they are, he said, that's it. And all of a sudden now this thing has come, and as to its maturity, it is here and it'll spring out. It already has around the world in about every major language. And around the world, and that from a little place called Bethlehem. As even the flag flying declaring the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. So it means that something has happened. And that is when it was all finished, as Brother Branham went away, then the rending of the veil and the light came forth. And folks, the church is being taken out. Taken out. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? That they are coming to the place that all of a sudden they realize that setting in heavenly places is not just a biblical saying as to a biblical terminology, but that they are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came from heaven and they go back to heaven. And as Jesus said to them, others that be of the dust, as to the bodily perspective, you come from the earth and from the dust, and to the dust thou shalt return. So then we have returned to heaven. And he said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man who was in heaven, and he looked at him, and the physical being looked at him and said, even as a little child that has never entered into accountability, so am I. I am still in heaven. And you as little children being born again, lest you become as to the innocency, not inherit the kingdom. So then being the predestinated seed of Almighty God, and only subjected as the inner man to the vanities of the world through the outer man and the human being, as to these human senses, you have escaped through Calvary, and God has taken you into that wonderful world of glory, and ye are spotless, and you cannot sin, and you cannot die, and you made it into the wonderful world of God, and you are in heaven. And just as quick as the last one comes to recognize this as to the move of God, the gospel to all of the world, then the change of your body. Someone would say, well, the body, Brother Pike, that's my interest. How can it be your interest when the Bible said you're not in the flesh, but I've chosen you out of the flesh, and I've killed the body of that serpent at Calvary, and that the body as to the flesh profiteth nothing, with all of the pattern paint and the education and all of the exuberance and all of the efforts and learning and whatever, it profiteth nothing. I don't see nothing in it. It's dead and gone. It's a body of death. It's wretched. I don't want it and I won't have it. But you that are the angelic forces of my heaven, I am your king, even the great father of spirits, even Adam, the second man, the quickening spirit of which you are. Not a living soul unto death, but a quickening spirit unto life. And sure enough, this is the thing that Brother Branham pointed to when he said, laying on his bed, he was caught up beyond the veil and saw the women in the long dresses. And this was heaven. And he saw the youth restored even to his wife as a young girl. And saw them sit him upon the throne. And with this, a throne as to the second heaven, as to that, as to being enthroned and sitting upon a throne. And the thousands of followers that said, you reached us and led us to God, as God or Christ making us kings and priests under our God, as to our efforts to reach out to the lost, or Christ within us, and to sharing the throne, he that overcometh and sits down in the throne with the Lord. So, perfectly surrendered as to the fullness of the body, to the fullness of the Spirit, thus you become his wife. Otherwise, you're his children. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But here he sits, and when he said, I want to see Jesus, they said, he's up a little high. I said, as in the vision I saw, it was a miniskirt as to the world. And I thought, my God, that won't do. My mother had it on. I've never seen it like that. And then something said to me, you have a rod in your hand. Say what you will, it'll be done. I said, Lord, I don't want my mother to have a miniskirt. The mother being the church, the Bible said, New Jerusalem, the mother of a son, fully clothed as to the move of God, proportionally given as to the message. All of a sudden I looked and she had a miniskirt, and it looked so nice down below her knees. It looked so nice. I said, but I don't want my mother to have a miniskirt. And I spoke again, and she had a maxi skirt all the way down to the ankle, the church fully clothed as to the third pull, as Brother Branham said. And I looked and I saw this as the ladies in the long dresses, and they came running for me. As in heaven, so in the spirit. When something happens in the spirit, it cannot happen out of season. The truth cannot be accepted out of season. It must be as in heaven, on earth at the same time. As to the sequence and the transitional of the coinciding of this move of God. And so here, as to being fully clothed. And then I turned. And when I turned, I felt a drop of rain. And I said, rain. And I saw, as it was, the destruction of Atlanta, Georgia, as to bombs and whatever. And I was as though I was here in this area at the time that I saw this vision. I believe that was before we ever come here. But anyway, as to whatever it was, I was here. And as to the same little house that we lived in, which was an old house, the only old thing on the ground that you have now made new, as to the change, signifying the change. So I said, rain, and a drop of rain came. And then I said, rain, and another drop or two, and it began to rain. And I thought, what is this? I'm standing out in the rain. And then I said, rain, rain, rain. It looked like it was almost like buckets was poured out. And I said, my God, what is this? So much water. And I heard a voice say, don't you remember? You've got the rod in your hand, and whatever you say, that's what will happen. And the latter, the former rain, all coming at one time, the sevenfold light, as to an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Jesus the Word, all that my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And folks, here we are. I know that you will not conceive, many of you. I know that you will not. Some people are sterile as to practice harlotry. And I know that some are barren. I know that you will not conceive of these things. And I know that you will not bring forth a child as to have an inheritance of the old law of the Old Testament. But one thing I do know, that though the body be the mother, and if it does not bring forth a child, then I know that you'll be turned into darkness. You'll be without an inheritance because you've misused your body as to the harlot. But brothers and sisters, this is it. There isn't anything else coming. There isn't anything else coming. If you can prove that there is, then that's fine. That's fine. I have no objection. God does what he wants to. I'll praise God and I'll praise it. But you can be sure there won't be anything else coming. And I didn't notice until a little bit ago, but I also noticed that our little brother out of Elberton is here. If I'm looking right back there, if that's you, raise your hand back there. Yeah, that's him. He's out of Elberton. And he's a precious little brother. He and his wife, they were the ones that brought us that clock as to time fulfilled. I still have that clock. And he follows a symbolic thing of the man-child. And in this coming from Elberton, it has to do with David Paul as to the stones that they hew out as to the headstones for the grave. Great, marvelous place as to Revelation. And him coming today has great significance. At the same time, David Paul, who has the key to this tower, this pyramid tower up here, up to the recording place, has had the key for a long time now. And Joseph took a special master key of Chuck to unlock it. He had to go into the studio there to get a little thing that he put under the tent for tonight. As to the 4th of July, the marriage, as to the independency, as to the fireworks, as to the change, as to the church declaring their independency, separated as to this
church and state as the forefathers had it, as to this, and in dependency from the flesh to the spirit and their world and their government, as to the government upon the shoulders of the sons of God. And when you say government, you're talking about knowledge as to their legislative way of life, and yet yours is not a legislative way of life as to the slate of this world or the inscribing as originally started, but it is carved upon the heart and the heart of stone as to the stone of legislation gone. And on the inside I will write my laws upon the table of your heart as to a spiritual revelation, and the love of God constrain you, and ye shall walk in my laws. So as to the first broken and as to the second stone, that is to the crossing, where Moses being smitten at Jesus for the sake of the people, the pillar of fire was gone. The life was in the blood no more. And then it came at us to the bright light and the falling of the walls of Jericho as the old intellectual walls for the devastation of God, that the children might set up their government in Canaan. Getting over the intellectual Jordan of human reason, of religion and legislation, of whatever, as to the mixing and mingling of lights and sports and darkness and all these kinds of things. So, a great thing is happening as to the day of the independency, as to the firework, as to let there be light, as to the change, as from darkness, as to that wonderful change which is at hand. So we're going to sing this little chorus again, and we're going to let you go. And time shall be no more, no more. And time, see the angel of the Lord standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, with his hand lifted to heaven, as in the spirit and the flesh, declaring that time should be no more. Where did time come from? Where is it? We preached to you concerning time. We told you how time originated, and we told you how time dissipated. And we've explained to you as to time. And time, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Upon you, the Bible said, even the fullness of time. For in the fullness of time God sent forth the royal seed as to his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And Paul the revelator come, put the finger on Peter and blamed him to his face, that he indeed was to be blamed, in that it had to do with Lucifer and the casting out the first papacy, and that in the earth as the old tribe of the serpent. But Paul, leaving the veil in the cocoon, caught up into the third heaven, he bears to the Christ as to bring this in, having to do again with Brother Branham being smitten. Peter was cast out in the symbolic of "Get thee behind me, Satan." Crucified upside down, it is said, of humility, of saying, "I am not worthy to die like my Savior." To show the fall of Satan, "Get thee behind me." And from that, as to let us make three tabernacles, as Peter said on the mount, as to a trinity, to the papacy, to the Antichrist, as to the first pope, as it would be said of their fallacy of understanding, but God allowed it to the footstool in the earth. And they've had the crown, but the crown was taken away from the papacy recently, which means that the crown, something happened, we have it on tape, as to little Bethlehem and the Jews. But the thing is, Paul was caught up. He blamed him to his face because he looked back into Egypt. And Paul said, "I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Peter, this is the move of grace. It has nothing to do with the law." Because Peter boldly acted like the church and the Gentiles until the Jews would come, and then out of fear would go back with the Jews. And Paul said, "If salvation be of the law, Peter, Christ Jesus died in vain, because we had the law before he came." And he turned to the Galatians as the mirror on the wall, saying, "And who hath bewitched to you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus has evidently been set forth and crucified? This I would ask of you, Did you receive the Spirit? By the law, by the hearing of faith. And if ye have begun in the Spirit, are ye so foolish as to think that ritualistics or things you do in the natural as to your own way of life can make you perfect? So I said that to say this. Brother Branham, they did him the same way. He came forth as the key with the kingdom, as to unlock, as it was with Peter, as a little stone. But at the end of his ministry, it turned into a serpent seed thing with some of the following. And the following one was divided asunder. And some that followed Christ in Brother Branham. Some then took the intellectual side as of the man that was to be smitten, as it was with Jesus. Jesus showing the serpent, and Jesus being the Son of God, showing the serpent to be lifted up by the Antichrist to smite his head with the thorns. As to the seed of the woman, in that a woman don't have a seed, but this the Bible said, a woman shall compass a man, and the Christ coming forth as her seed shall bruise the head of the old generation of vipers. As to Jesus coming as a sinful image of that first man Adam to be smitten, to release that second man Adam as the quickening spirit of the inner Christ. And so the veil was rent from top to bottom, and he was smitten as the serpent of the wilderness, as to the impenetrable brazen one that sin could not penetrate, saying, the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. And through him our sins are gone, as to look upon the brazen serpent, and the evil spirits can't bother us, as the old serpents in the intellectual wilderness of your wondering where that thing got through from the serpent into the mind through the fall of Adam and Eve. See, so now the word of life, the mind of Christ, over the Jordan into this wonderful world of the mind of faith. See, and Brother Branham was the same way. And so the people rejected him. And out he went, and he died, and he was bruised. Went out as to Jesus in the earth and our generation, smitten that the Christ may come in to bring forth the real Jew, as to the spiritual revelated one and not the intellectual concept of that of the spoken word, as in the beginning when he said, let there be light, but rather the end of the thing, as the end is better than the beginning, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, as to the word and life went into the veil, as to the rent veil of Calvary, and the life came back out in the spirit. And the second man Adam was made a quickening spirit, though he'd been made the word. And there the veil was rent in twain. And as to the Adam, the nucleus was exposed and the power came. So it's very evident that the wonderful power severally divided, in that he resurrected from the dead and gave gifts unto man, saying, according to your measure. And he dealt a measure of what was in him to every man. And so it's very evident that the veil rent in twain. It turned as to the serpent seed as to the veil. And they have preached, and people have stooped to such corruption. I told them, I said, it's of the devil. I said, you know better than that. And it got so bad that the women were peeping into the restroom on the men. And I got a letter just a few days ago, said, Brother Pike, I don't know about this thing around Jeffersonville and whatever. He said, way over in India or the Philippines. And said, I got afraid of this thing. Said, the way they're doing about a serpent seed sort of a thing and the corruption that thing's going into. See, what is it? It is the old veil side. Twins are born. There's an intellectual concept of the message. And what is it? It's as to the children of devastation, as to the intellectual, as to the frolic, as to the passions. And it showed up in Adam and Eve. It was as the weakness of the woman, as to the flesh. But the male not being in the transgression, as the illumination, as the Son of God today, the spiritual ones today, which are the sons of God. And these are they that are holy and godly, not as to the veil and the corruption unto death, but rather as to the incorruptible of the interspiritual, not as life within the pillar of fire that was over the tabernacle that represented that blood of Jesus, as to foreknowledge, as to the lamb slain, or the blood from that of Noah over to come the coming of Calvary, till it reached the human form, as to a preservation of life within the blood, even the beast side of it. But the pillar of fire gone, and the days of the Gentile ending as to the eagle age and the eagle message and going out with the thing as to the Olympics is what we said in much that we could say concerning that. But the thing is, then came the light over the Jordan and the intellectual concept of religion, and now the light, true light shining. And that is to what Jesus said or done is now comprehended as to the Christ. That within you, the hope of glory, for he alone was made heir to the glory of God. Everyone that has this hope will be changed. Can we sing this last little chorus together? I'd like to take a lot of time to go into these things, to expound it, but men are dull of hearing, and men are in a hurry, and men are self-esteem, and men are so full of exuberance as to being sure that they know and understand that they cannot listen from the God standpoint, and they'll be left like the Jews were when they were so sure they were God's people. See, but they have turned themselves into a serpent tribe, and all of the world has turned themselves into that as to on their belly for the natural things of the world and mixing sports and everything else with this when that darkness won't mix with this light. So then when we come to this time of life, it's hard to get it over to them, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll have their own ideas. Everybody will go to conceit as to whatever they are, as to their seed. They'll go to seed, and that'll be the end of them, as to do their thing. So here we are as the children of God to do our thing, as to the word, and not self-esteem of intellectual reasoning, but rather faith in the lovely word of spirit and life. Singing the song now, let's sing together. And I will praise my Lord. I was speaking of the tower. David has had it locked up, symbolic as to the king and as of Elberton and as of where he was born and as of confiscating the key to David, the key to the house of David. And then the master key came and it was unlocked as to the Josephite, and from that the little sacred desk to lay the Bible on under the tent after the independence. And the pyramid was capstone not too long ago. We spoke of this as to what it had to do with, and even as to the brother that helped do it, as to playing the trumpet, as to the sounding of the last trump. And then, all of a sudden, Joseph picked somebody. The Bible said, the man of God, the child, shall be caught up to the throne to rule with the rod of iron. And it has related back to Brother Mike, or we say Michael, standing for his people, as to the Jewish people, as to the bodily perspective of the intellectual learning, as to the word before the revelation, or the crossing of the Jordan of the intellect overthrown to come into the revelational mind of Christ. Those of a good understanding. The government, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of Christ. And all of a sudden, the one that was chosen for it, name having to do with Rodney, as to the child caught up to the throne, and as to the word of God, which is the holy, godly, pure rod that I had in my hand at the birth of the man child. I noticed they were singing the other night, Brother Taylor was singing, God is bringing forth the man child, bringing forth the man child, and that within you and me. We're going to sing that little chorus before we dismiss. And we stepped in just as he was singing that song. You remember Bush? You remember the picture of Moses that Brother Branham spoke of in the rod? And you remember Reagan? And you remember Bush, the burning bush is turning to protect Israel during Desert Storm as the fire we saw from heaven. And Reagan as the rod said, I'll keep it and pass it on down to Mr. Bush. He didn't use those terms, but he said, I'll stay in here for a little while and turn it over to Bush. See, and put the rod and the bush together, and you've really got something if you can understand, especially with the woman with her feet on the moon. and some things concerning the plains of Dura and Atlanta, Georgia, the devastation and many hundreds of things. So then, as we sing this little song, think about it. God is bringing forth the man child. God's bringing forth this man child. God is bringing forth this man child, the Christ in you and me. One day we'll see this great image to be. For God is bringing forth his man child, the Christ in you and me. Now let's sing it like this. Let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father, the seed in the womb of the Son. For in thy shining, that seed is the Word, and the sower went forth to sow, and tares came up as in the parable. And they said, Lord, did you not sow good seed? He said, this is the work of the devil. And all of the tares, as to saying, as Cain of the wicked one and of the old beast, and the sowing of that intellectual mind that made itself a body, as to the tares unto death. Leave them alone. I'll send the angels in the end of the world. I'll cut down everything, and I'll sever as the just from the unjust, and I'll do away with the tares. I'll bind them into bundles, whether it's the intellectual as to their social benefits, their groups, or whatever there might be today. I'll burn them. I'll cast them into the fire, the lake of fire. But I'll gather the grain into the garners. As the shuck pulls away from the grain, at the life having been in the shuck and from the seed and through the cultivation of the church ages, and I'll take the grain, I'll grind the grain, and I'll gather it into the garners for the master's use. And the life in the shuck no more, it'll be burned, fed to the beast, and then burned. I used to pull fodder when I was a little boy, and I know what we did with it. Will be done. Sing it with me now. In us, do you feel anything forming? Our travails of Christ be formed within you? Has anything been created in you? Have you listened, or did you just come to church to reflect, and on the inside a seed of corruption has run to the great whore, and you've been out whoring around in the world and longing for the money and the prestige and trying to figure it out in your mind and trying to climb up into heaven another way through your religious reflection? Jesus said you'll be bound hand and feet and cast out into the intellectual darkness of your wilderness confusion and be cut off and into the fire. Speaking of revelation, even the revelation which means the revealing of Jesus Christ, and that Christ within you, the hope of glory. And with this wonderful revelation, the revealing of heaven, the revealing of the other world, the revealing of the inner you, the revealing of Christ as to your hope of glory, and the dissipating of the shadows of the intellectual as to this world of types and shadows, even as that which is the reality comes, then that which is a vanity fades away. To observe lying vanities, which is this world, as to your intellectual concept, is to be a child of bondage, as to the human senses, and to deny, and the Bible said to forsake your own mercy, which is as to the tree of life and the revelation of the Son of God, of that innermost life that's been hid from the foundation of the world, that's made known to you, for now it's made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, of the heavenly treasure.
in your earthen vessels. Let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come. I heard Satan speak to me. I heard Jesus speak to me as I got ready to close the service. And as the Lord spake to me, all of a sudden Satan perverted something. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm supposed to do this? And I thought, no, something ain't right. What is that? And then all of a sudden I heard him say, and it's like this. And that other went away like that. Everything worked out just right. One more time together, we're going to sing it. And I want to praise you. Thank you for listening, for being with us in the services. And may the Lord bless you as to take in your patience. May you incorporate these things into your lifestyle, that all of you should be saved. Jesus said, it's not my will that any should perish. And if he looked down through the telescope of time and saw that you would be obedient unto the faith as to listen and to incorporate these things within your lifestyle, as to doing, as to performing your faith, and that a child is known by his doings, then he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if not, he saw your deceitfulness and he did not write your names. And the names that was not found written in the Book of Life was turned into the lake of fire. Don't lean to your own human reasoning. You'll reason yourself out of grace by being religious or by being deceitful. Say, I'll praise him. I'll give him glory because he's the one that did it all. Let's look at it like it is. Let's look at it like it is. For everything is his, as the song the Lord gave me. We are nothing. Nothing at all. For we as the people lost out in the fall. So let's look at it like it is. Like it is that everything is his. The flesh profiteth nothing. So as we stand here, lift your hands up and close your eyes. I want to say I thank you for patiently listening. We took longer than we ordinarily would, but this has to do with a special thing. As to this meeting, as I told my wife before the meeting, told Joseph, and this is the Joseph age of great things happening. My eyes to that of Benjamin under the tent in Colorado, as to Israel and America coming together in the Bush thing, as they're just dedicating that ship called the George Washington, as to a commemoration, as to the 4th of July. Anyway, things are happening, marvelous things, as I in that vision looked into heaven and said, do you see these things, folks? Look and see these things. Standing there with my hands outstretched in heaven, saying, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. As the Bible said, and we stand in the stead of Christ as people beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular. So as you stand here and we're fixing to walk out, then the Jew comes up. He's full-blooded Jew. And when the days of the Gentiles was over, the Jew came up. And his name, Richard, meaning king of all. So the body of the Lord Jesus returning as to the change of our body, that is to the fullness of Christ, and that as to salvation being of the Jew, him being the head, and in him is the fullness. For God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure, but the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily is one, not a trinity, as to the thing that it appeared to be. Even as to the Baptist side of the man, that really it wasn't that way at all. Though the first wife was Hope, the second was called Mary, yet there was another thing that he called the third pool, that was really his wife, as he saw restored to her youth, and the glory of that, as to the hope of that glory, and having gone through that veil, even as it was the maxi. One more time together, Richard comes. And I want to praise.